Come to me for what you need, for I shall supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. I have what you want. I have what you desire. I will give you fire and take you higher. Come ascend into the throne room. Experience my glory as it washes over you. Oh, how I love you, each and every one of you. I love you with an everlasting love, a steadfast love, an unshakable love. And it's out of my love that I give what you need, want, and desire. Oh, hallelujah. You believe God loves you?
Yes.
You believe He wants to give you good things?
Yes.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, you may have your seats. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. Just want to make you aware of a few things. On April 9th, which is coming up, we're going to have a craft show from 10 to 1. And you can come out and be a vendor or be a participant. And this Friday, of course, it's going to be Good Friday. How many have you ever heard of Jam with the Lamb? Well, Jam with the Lamb is just a time of praise and worship. And if you just want to praise and worship God, we just invite you to come here on Friday at 8 p.m. and just jam with the Lamb. Also, men, this Saturday is Barnabas Group. So we'll see you at 8:30 a.m. Of course, ladies, tickets are on sale for the tea if you haven't gotten yours yet. That'll be April 30th. And a lot of things going on. Amen. A lot of good things. Hallelujah. And of course, you're giving. God loves cheerful givers. God was pretty cheerful about what He gave to us, right? And we don't work for a living, we work for a giving. Ephesians 4 says, let him that stole steal no more, but let him work with his hands something good that he may have something to give. Amen? So as you sow, God makes it grow, and it's pretty awesome. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we thank you for your word tonight and for the anointing of God. And Lord, there's something that you want to communicate to us tonight, and I just pray that it will get into our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You know, God is pretty amazing. And, of course, Wednesdays, you know, I spend a lot of time just soaking in the Word and preparing. And, of course, I had something, but I'm always open for what God wants. And When I came into the office today, it was like he just wants to shed his light. So we're going to let the light dispel every darkness tonight. Amen? And we're going to experience the power of God's light, which is pretty amazing. So we're going to start here, and then we're going to get into this light thing that God wants. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Starting with verse 9, and we're going to read through verse 12. Hallelujah. It says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and what? lying wonders. Who's the father of lies? Satan, the devil, right? And he has some power to work, but his power is false. His signs lie. And his wonders lie. And then it says in verse 10, so Satan is working. He's at work in the earth right now. He's the prince of the power of the air. I'm reading this first because light's going to come in and kick the darkness out. Okay? And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. His only weapon that he has is deception. He is a deceiver. He is a liar. He goes against the truth. All right? Then it says, and his goal is to get you to perish. All right? To be separated from God. And because they received not the love of the truth. Wow. If you're not a person who loves truth, whether you're young or whether you're older, you must love truth. Because if you don't love truth, then you put yourself into a position to be deceived. Okay? He says here, they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion or unbelief, that they should believe a lie. You know that people who aren't saved right now are believing a lie. Either the lie is that they can trust in themselves or they can trust in something else, but they're not trusting in God, they're believing a lie, and therefore they're bound. When you believe a lie, you get bound. When you embrace the truth, you become free. Okay? And he goes on to say, verse 12, that they all might be damned or judged who believed not the truth. Notice he's saying that again. But had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, the Bible talks about sin being fun for just a season. Okay? But you got to make a decision in your heart that you're going to be a person who loves the truth, no matter what. And you got to be a person that you're not going to love pleasure so much so that you overindulge, okay? And in the last days, 2 Timothy tells us, in the last days, it says, men will be lovers of themselves. He's talking about there's going to be perilous times. Men will be lovers of themselves. We see that today, don't we? They'll be lovers of money. They'll be boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Young people, if you're disobedient to parents, you're in perilous times. Okay? Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. There's a lot of places that you could go. They have a form of godliness, but they don't welcome, they don't accept, and some of them even reject the power of God. Right? They don't accept the gifts of the Spirit. They don't accept the fruit of the Spirit. They actually reject it. They have a form of godliness. They look good, but they deny the power. He grouped that people not in good company. Okay? It says, from such people, turn away. That's 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. From such people, if you encounter someone who has a form of godliness but denies the power, you're supposed to turn away from them. Right? Okay. You know, when Moses went to deliver the Egyptians, there was two people that opposed him. Their names were Jannes and Jambres, right? And they were able to duplicate a couple of the miracles, weren't they? You know, they made their rods turn into snakes, but Moses' snake ate their snakes, both of them. Listen, God's miracles, signs, and wonders will always swallow up the enemies. Okay? And I'm saying all this because we live in a dark world, but God has given us the cure for darkness. For gloom and doom. For despair. God's cure for gloom and doom is light. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. You about ready to have some darkness dispelled? Listen, if there's one thing that the devil doesn't want you to get a hold of, and that's God's light. Okay? Genesis chapter 1. It says in verse 1 and 2, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So here God, he creates this, you know, and it's describing there's darkness on the deep, okay? God saw the darkness, all right? And God knew the darkness was there, but notice what he did next, all right? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. He was hovering like a hummingbird or a helicopter. Okay? And he was waiting for God to speak. And God said, let there be what? Light. And what happened? See, he didn't have to fight against the darkness. He didn't have to stand against the darkness. All he had to do was introduce lights. All he had to do to change the atmosphere was to bring light to the situation. And the moment he said, let there be light, the darkness scattered. And light took over. So if you want to change the darkness, maybe you had a dark day. Maybe you had a dark moment this week. Maybe you feel overwhelmed by darkness. You have the capability of introducing light. You're a light bearer. You're a light carrier. You're a light container. Okay? The way to combat and counteract darkness is with light. See? Psalms 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. When God's word enters an atmosphere, it produces lights. The only way that you can change something dark is by introducing God's word. The entrance of his word. The moment his word is spoken, light is there. Because his word is light. Okay? Isn't it interesting that the first thing that God created was light? He didn't complain about the darkness. He didn't say, Michael, Gabriel, this darkness is pretty thick. Okay? No. He said, let there be light. And that simple phrase counteracted the darkness, and light started to be. Okay? Light dominates darkness. Say that with me. Say, light dominates darkness. Light is a force on this earth. All right? Light is powerful. Okay? And I'm not going to go into different types of light. All right? Don't have time for that. But God's word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Psalm 119, what does that mean? The only way that you can navigate through darkness is with his word. Because it's a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. When you shine a light on your path, it allows you to see where you're going. And the light uncovers the things that were hidden by darkness. Okay? I love it. Light trumps darkness. God's commandment is a lamp. His law is a light. Light is better than darkness. Jesus said, those who are heavy laden with burden, he said, come to me and I will give you rest. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is what? How many want to trade in their heavy burden for a burden of light? Woo! Did you know that Adam and Eve, they walked in the light because they were covered in God's glory? They were naked, but yet they were clothed. Why? They were clothed with God's light. And nothing could harm them, nothing could hurt them, nothing could stop them except sin. Go to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16. This is one of my several of favorite verses. It's a verse that I stood on that God helped to guide me. Okay? I want you to know that light dominates darkness. Isaiah 42, verse 16. It says this, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make what? He turns darkness into light. God promises that he will make your darkness into light. He will turn your doom and gloom and make it zoom away. That's a promise. I will make darkness light before them. And crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. You've got the ability through God and through Jesus Christ to generate light. I will make darkness light before them. Go to Acts 26. Acts 26. What are we doing? We're talking about how light dominates darkness. The enemy operates in darkness because he doesn't want to see. He doesn't want people to see him. He doesn't want people to see what he's up to. God operates in light, and light is greater than the darkness. Before you arrived here, this room was dark, and all I did was flip a switch, and the darkness went bye-bye. It couldn't hang around anymore. It doesn't matter what's happened to you in the past. It's time to get in God's light. It's time to let God illuminate you. Let him turn the darkness that you've encountered into light. Despair. Acts 26, verse 15. This is what Paul was testifying, and he said this. He's telling about his encounter on the road to Damascus. And he said, I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. But rise and stand upon your feet. For I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and to make a witness both of these things which you have seen and of those things in which I will appear unto you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you. Now notice verse 18. To open their eyes. Listen, when your eyes are closed, you're in darkness. What do you need to do? You need to open your eyes. And sometimes you need some spiritual help to see what you can't see. Okay? To open eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. God wants to turn people from darkness to light. In darkness, there's pain. In darkness, there's shame. But in the light, there's freedom. In the light, there's liberty. In the light, there's rejoicing. In the light, there's gladness. In the light, there's healing. In the light, there's deliverance. And from the power of Satan unto God. that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So Paul was sent by God to turn people from darkness to light, to open eyes, and to give them an inheritance. I love that part. That's my favorite part right there. Okay? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm telling you, we need to kick darkness out of our lives. Darkness out of our families. We need to get darkness out of our finances. See, the devil wants to just keep you down. He doesn't want you to achieve your purpose. And he binds you with lies. He tells you that you're not going to be any good, or you've made such a big mistake, you're never going to overcome that. Lie, lie, lie. I'm telling you, if God can deliver Jonah from the belly of the whale, he can deliver you from your mess. None of us have ever been in the belly of the whale for 3 days. But yet, God supernaturally caused that whale to spit Jonah up on the shore. He was only in darkness for 3 days. But then came light. God shot him into the light. God might have to catapult you into the light. That's what the anointing does. You're surrounded by darkness, and the anointing gets on you, and it just dispels darkness. It causes darkness to flee and lose its grip on you. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, 4 through 6. In whom, see, verse 3 says, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Notice, it's the not believing that blinds their minds. See, when you don't believe what God's word says, you're blind. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. Listen how he describes the light. He says, oh, yeah, you're blind, but the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. What does it do? Who is the image of God should shine unto them. God wants to shine in you tonight. He wants to have a light show in you tonight. He wants there some explosions to take place in you tonight. He doesn't want you bound by anything. How many would agree that based on what Jesus did and what Jesus said in the Gospels, that he is against sickness? Right? Because, I mean, he never spoke sickness on people. He healed people. So, did Jesus come to represent God's will? Absolutely. So, he was the perfect representative of God, and everything that Jesus did, God approved of. Everything that Jesus did, God ordained. Because he said, I and the Father are one, right? Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of where? He commands light to shine. Light is a command. Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus is light. He is light. He's the light of the world. He's so bright. But yet he wants to shine on us. And we can reflect his light then that's shining on us. How many has ever looked into a spotlight when it was on? You know, or someone's taking pictures and, you know, the flashes are just like going crazy and all you're seeing is these spots, right? the light can be overwhelming, but God wants to shine in your hearts tonight. It's the light of His glorious gospel. It's good light. Listen, God's light will make you good. God's light will make you whole. And He commands light to shine out of darkness. You're walking around the power generator with a light generator in you. Batteries will never go out. Bulbs will never burn out. This is an everlasting light. It's an everlasting light that He wants to shine with us, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. This is powerful. Be ye not unequally yoked together with who? You shouldn't be yoked together with an unbeliever. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have unbelieving friends, but he's talking about being yoked together, all right? Locked in a relationship, okay? For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? I don't care how hard you try, you will never get light and darkness to coexist. It's like oil and water. They will never intermingle. You could put it in a blender. You could put it in a paint shaker. You could put it on the space shuttle. And no matter how hard you shake oil and water, it's never going to come together. Light and dark. What fellowship has light with darkness? Light is on a higher plane. You don't have fellowship. Light does not fellowship with darkness. Light exposes darkness. Okay? Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1. Way back at the end. Sometimes referred to as Little John. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is what? And in Him is no what? I like how it says it's no darkness at all. There's not a smidgen of darkness. There's not a little corner of darkness at all in God. His light is so powerful that darkness can't even stick to Him. Okay? I'm declaring that to you tonight. God's light is a powerful force that can set you free from anything. If you came in here oppressed, you're going to leave happy. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Listen, if you're going to talk about the light, you better walk in the light. You can't walk in the light. You can't claim to walk in the light and walk in darkness. No, it doesn't work. Because once again, fellowship, light and dark doesn't fellowship. Okay? You are children of light. You've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. You've been brought into the kingdom of light. Where God can illuminate your mind, He can tell you who you really are. Only find who you really are from God. Because He made you. He's the manufacturer. The manufacturer. Isn't it interesting how the product does not tell the manufacturer what it is? The manufacturer tells the product what it is. Right? Okay? But, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If people are walking in the light, they're fellowshipping. It's the people who aren't walking in the light that aren't fellowshipping. Okay? But if we're walking in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ, Jesus, cleanses us from how much sin? Isn't that powerful? When we're walking in the light, we're also cleansed from sin. squeaky clean. Right? How many has washed those dishes until you go, you know, when you rub those, that's called squeaky clean. There's not 1 ounce of dirt on the plate because you scrubbed it, you used soap, you used hot water, and your fingers look like prunes. So, see, God is in the light, and when you're walking in the light, you walk differently. When you're in the light, you have nothing to hide. When you're in the light, you have no shame. Paul said, I am not ashamed. If anybody had right to be ashamed, Paul could have been ashamed of all the people he persecuted. All the people whose death he witnessed simply for believing in Jesus. But Paul declared that he was not ashamed. Why? Because he got a hold of the light. The light got a hold of Paul. And when the light came in, it flushed shame out. Therefore, Paul did not receive the shame that the enemy would have liked to put on him. Paul was free. Paul could go from persecuting people to preaching people because he was walking in the light. Paul came out of the darkness. He thought that when he was persecuting Christians, he thought he was doing what God wanted until the light showed up. What happened when he was on the road to Damascus? A light shone round about him. And Jesus had a conversation, said, Paul, this is not the way to go. My paraphrase. But Paul could preach without shame because the light flushed that shame away. Did you know that light separates good and evil? When the Israelites were taken out of Egypt, the Bible says it was for 3 days it was dark in Egypt, but for those 3 days in every dwelling place of the Israelites, it was light. Can you imagine that the Egyptians are sitting in darkness for 3 days and the Israelites got light where in their dwelling, in their house. And the Egyptians could look and say, how come they got light and we don't? See, because light separates good from evil. When you're on light side, we know it. Because it becomes apparent on whose side you are. So light separates good from evil. It was dark in Egypt, it was light in Goshen. When they were at the Red Sea, God sent a light, a pillar of fire by day, a pillar of cloud by night, or fire by night and cloud by day, that's right. God had light travel with the Israelites to show them the way in which to go. Okay? You don't have to turn there, but just listen to this. Exodus 13, verses 21 and 22. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way. Did you know that light leads the way? You want to go where the light is. Okay? And by night, a pillar of fire to give them light as to go by day and night. When you're traveling by the light, progress is not hindered because you can travel any time of the day. You can travel at night, you can travel during the day, but your enemy can't. He can only travel by day. But your progress, you can supernaturally increase your progress when you embrace the light. You can travel by day and night. That means when you're walking in the light, it doesn't matter what time of the day it is. Light enhances your ability to progress quickly. Okay? Let me give you some characteristics of light. Go to Psalm 27:1. Psalm 27:1. Are you having a good time? I'm having a good time. Lord, stop the clock at 7:45 for an hour. No, just kidding. Psalm 27, verse 1. Notice this. The Lord is my light and my what? Salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So that tells me Light is salvation, light is strength, and light removes fear. David is just saying, Lord, the Lord is the light. He's my light and my salvation. He's my strength. Of whom shall I fear? He's my salvation. Listen, when you're in the light, you don't have to fear darkness because it can't get on you. It can't come near you. It can't crowd around you because the light will overpower it every single time. So light is salvation. Light is strength. Light is the Lord. Who's your light? It's the Lord. The Lord is your light. Your strength isn't your light. Your ability isn't your light. It's the Lord who's your light. Okay? Psalm 37, verse 6. Psalm 37, verse 6 says this. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment or your justice as the noonday. So that tells me that light is righteousness and justice. Why is light justice? Because it exposes evil. See, light does two things. It exposes evil, but yet it exposes sin. That's why when you come around the light, you get convicted. If you're doing something that the Lord doesn't like, if you're doing something that doesn't please God, and you get around the light, it's like you feel uncomfortable. Because that's conviction. Because the light is exposing some junk in your closet. But if you yield to the light will help you get rid of it. The light will disintegrate your junk. And you won't have your junk anymore. And your closet will be clear. And you'll be free. Okay? Psalm 43, verse 3. Psalm 43, verse 3. Oh, send your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill and to your tabernacle. So that tells me that light is light. It's truth. Light will lead you. Light will bring you to his holy hill. And light will bring you to his tabernacle. You know what God's tabernacle is? That's his dwelling place. Light will bring you where God dwells. You know, he dwells in unapproachable light. But God will... He'll invite you to his tabernacle. Do you realize when Moses set up the tabernacle in the wilderness, he would go and meet with God. And the Bible says that the pillar of fire would rest on the tabernacle, signifying that God was having a one-on-one conversation with Moses. Matter of fact, the Bible says he spoke to Moses as a man speaks to his friend. And Moses would go into that tabernacle, and he would talk with God. God would give him wisdom about all the problems of 2 to 3 million people. Moses was the greatest pastor ever. He pastored a church of 2 to 3 million people, and most of them were whiny babies. It's no wonder when he came out down off that mountain, his hair was white. But where did he get the strength to pastor 2 to 3 million people? From that tabernacle. From getting into God's light. And then, you know, he would go. He'd be done for the day. And Joshua would say, I like it here. I'm going to hang out here. And Joshua would hang out at the tabernacle when Moses left. See, some of you like to hang out. It's okay to hang out when God is moving. Right? Psalm 44, verse 3. 44, verse 3. Says this. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance, because you have favor unto them. So it's not because of your strength or your good looks that you get what you get. Okay? It's because God's light is his right hand, which is his authority and power. It's his arm, And it's the light of his countenance, which is his favor. Did you know that when God gives you favor, it's like he's smiling at you? It's like his reflection. That's his favor. His countenance shines upon you. When God shines upon you, things work out really well for you. You got to believe in God's favor. Say this with me. Say, I'm God's favorite. Say it with a big smile. Say, I'm God's favorite. Now, just because you're God's favorite doesn't mean you compete with others. All right? You don't say, I'm God's favorite, and you're not. No, no, no. You just say, I'm God's favorite. And if you both say it, you both are true. Okay? Psalm 89, verses 14 through 17, don't turn there, but it says, God's light is his righteousness and justice. It's his mercy and truth. And it makes you know a joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. When you're walking in the light, it comes with joy and gladness. Why? Because there's no gloom and doom around you. When you're free from gloom and doom, you've got joy, peace, joy unspeakable and full of glory. God's wind just needs to blow some of those gloomy clouds away from you tonight. Psalm 104, verses 1 and 2. Let's look at that one. Psalm 104, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Are you blessing him with your soul? What's your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Don't tell me that God doesn't affect your emotions. He certainly does. Some of you need to get more emotional about God. Sit there like a frog on a log, waiting for the flies to come by. Bless the Lord. Listen, you've got to bless the Lord with your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. O my soul, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretched out the heavens like a curtain. God's light is honor and majesty, and it's something that you could wear. Some of you need to change clothes. Put on a light garment. It's custom made for you. God gave you your very own robe of righteousness when you accepted his son into your hearts. He gave you a custom embroidered garment that he put on you. It comes with anointing. It comes with favor. It comes with strength. It comes with dignity. It comes with honor. Remember the prodigal son? He went from the pig pen to his dad's house. Right? And his dad saw him afar off. His dad must have been praying for him. When the Bible says he saw him afar off, that signifies to me that he was seeing beyond what he could see. How did he recognize that was his son so far away? It must have been something spiritual there. And what did he do? He didn't criticize his son. He didn't say, son, you really messed up, you know that? No, he welcomed him with a hug. He said he put a robe on him. He put a ring on him. He put new shoes on him. And he had a party. And that's what God does for us. We can mess up, but as long as we know that he's the source of our life, we can come to him. And he'll clean our mess up. And he'll put a robe of righteousness on us. A garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you want to combat heaviness, you've got to do it with praise. You can't combat heaviness saying, oh, I feel so bad, I feel so bad. No, that's feeding heaviness. You've got to praise God. You've got to go higher than the heaviness to get it off of you. Ecclesiastes 11:7 says, light is sweet, it's wonderful to see the sun. That's from the New Living Translation. I like that. Okay, Romans 13, then we're going to close for tonight. Romans 13, Romans 13, verses 12 to 14. And we're going to close with this. All right, because this gives us something to do. Romans 13, 12 through 14. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Listen, you can cast off the works of darkness. How does darkness work? It keeps you down. It keeps you depressed. It keeps you limited. It keeps you enslaved. It keeps you in bondage. But you can cast off the works of darkness. Can you say amen? And let us put on the armor of light. It's simply a matter of changing clothes, changing, making a decision, changing your mind, saying, I choose Jesus. I'm casting off the works of darkness and I'm putting on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly. See, this is how you know if you're wearing light, because it changes your behavior. You can't say, oh, I put on my light and lie. Doesn't work that way. As in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or carousing or wantonness, not in strife and envy. Listen, you can't put on you can't walk in the light and talk about your brother in a bad way. Uh-oh. Doesn't work that way. Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I guarantee you that when you put on Jesus, he turns your frown upside down. He wipes away your tears and makes you joyful. He does something to your feet. All of a sudden, your feet want to move like they didn't want to move before. When you put on Jesus, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Your flesh enjoys depression, but your spirit doesn't. Amen? Your flesh revels in the gloom and doom, but your spirit doesn't, because your spirit likes light. Your spirit likes light refreshments. By the way, there'll be light refreshments after this message. Not something for your flesh, but something for your spirit. There's light to refresh your spirit here tonight. There's light to lift your load tonight. There's light to take your burdens away tonight. There is light here tonight. I was praying this afternoon that God would flood this place with light. And he is shining down on us. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has come right now. It's time for you to rise up and shine. It's time for you to turn the light on and keep it on. Amen? You can run the light 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and God will not send you a light bill. You have a bulb in you that will never run out. You have the source of light. But you got to decide to put on the light. Amen? You got to decide. God's law is his light. So when you're speaking his word, you're putting on the light. When you're praising his name, you're putting on the light. When you're worshiping God, you're putting on the light. Now, I know that some of you may have come in here tonight heavy. That's okay, because you're not going to leave that way. You're going to leave much lighter than you came in tonight. And if you need to be touched by God's light, come up right now and receive from his light in Jesus' name. One author said the issue is now clear. It's between light and darkness, and everyone must choose his side. Say this with me. Say, I'm on the side of light. Say this. Say, Lord, you are my light and my salvation. I fear no one. I fear nothing, because I'm in your light. And the Word of God is your lightsaber. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for flooding every individual with your awesome, glorious, wonderful, incredible, magnificent, praiseworthy light in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, we release light. I come right now in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, I thank you, Lord, that your light has come to her. Darkness flees in Jesus' name. Bondage.